To be in the house of the Lord this morning. How many know what day this is? This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Bible says, I shall rejoice. I shall rejoice and be glad in this day. Amen. God has been good to us, and He is faithful, and never want to ever take the chance to miss the opportunity to give God glory, praise, and honor for all that He's doing. When we look back at all the good things that God has done, and I think about the goodness of Jesus, amen, and all that He's done for me. I don't know about you, but He's brought me a lot, long, long way, amen. Deep sin, deep iniquity. I come out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, but I can tell you this, the Lord, amen, can make new creatures in Christ. He can change the most vilest sinner. There is power in the blood of Jesus. We're so glad to be with you here in Hampton. This is Hampton, is that correct? Amen. Pastor, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad to see a few faces. Brother Derek has been a friend of mine for a few years now, and we've been praying for him here and you all at the church, the transition and everything. I also am a newer pastor. I've been evangelizing for about 12 to 14 years, somewhere in there. The first 2 years was a little rough, but once I realized that the hand of the Lord was upon me to preach the gospel, I went ahead and said, okay, Lord, You open the doors and I'll obey You. And my grandfather was a missionary to Old Mexico. The brother mentioned about missions, and I had no desire to go to Mexico. None at all, especially in the day and the time we're living. Most of the cartels down there, I'll tell you, it's a very oppressive country to go to if you've ever been there. And my grandfather's dying wishes was that one of his sons or grandsons would take up the torch. He had built three churches down there. He had built some different missionary churches and traveled in an old pickup truck from Phoenix, Arizona, where he had lived, down into the regions of Durango, Mexico. And that's when the old Western days, so to speak. I mean, they literally carried guns out in the streets. But with the help of the Lord and God calling him, he had built three churches down there. And God used him mightily to preach the gospel in that area of that heathen land. How many of us know that, Catholicism, amen, is a religion that it keeps people in bondage. It's oppressive. And he went in there and brought the light of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can know Him as our Savior. And he passed away, but his wish was that, Brother Derek, that one of his sons or grandsons would take up the torch and continue the work. I had no desire to go down there, but I began to pray and draw closer to the Lord. I was preaching here and there, evangelizing. Not pastoring, of course. The Lord began to deal with me in my prayer closet, Pastor, saying, Mexico, Mexico. And I couldn't shake it. You know, if God calls you, it's not just a feeling that you're going to be able to shake off. But when God calls you to do a work, it's in your spirit. Amen. And I began to be dealt with by the Holy Ghost. And I finally asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if You want me to go, I will do a work for You. But You're going to have to give me a word. How many of us know it's important before we ever step out in the work of God, we must have a word from God. Faith is not simply just stepping out and hoping and grasping and thinking that God's just going to meet us along the way. Before you ever step out into the unknown territory, amen, amen, in your future, what God's called you to do, you need to have a word from God, amen. Just like Peter stepped out on that boat, he stepped out on the word come that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. God spoke to me one night in prayer, and he woke me up in the middle of the night. I opened up to the book of Acts, right up into that scripture where I had been dealt with by the Holy Ghost. He spoke to me clearly on the side of my bed at about 3:30 in the morning. I was looking for a word from God whether I should go down there, because I knew it was dangerous and I knew the importance of hearing from God before you ever set out to do a work for Him. And as I woke up that evening, I felt the presence of God all around me. My wife was sleeping. Opened up the Bible where Paul heard that Macedonian call. Amen. I didn't stumble
around looking for it, I opened right up to the page where the man of God over in Macedonia was praying, somebody come help us. Amen. And I began to get in touch with the pastors that my grandpa worked with. And they said, we've been praying for somebody to come help us. Your grandpa hasn't been here for many years and the work is starting to go down the drain, so to speak. It's not, we have no support. We don't have much money. We're talking about a poor, poor region of Mexico where there's not much work. Mostly agricultural work is what many of these pastors do for a living. And God began to deal with me. And I knew right then, there, that night, that God had called me to go into Mexico because there was men of God praying for help here. And amen, I've been going down to Mexico now for about 10 years preaching the gospel. My heart is to evangelize into these foreign nations. God's opened a few doors for me to preach. I love preaching to the Mexican people. I've had an opportunity to go into many of the islands and the Virgin Islands and many of those places. We just got back from Africa. Brother Derek also went to Africa. It's a rough region over there. But I'll tell you, the Bible says before the coming of the Lord, this gospel shall be preached into all the world. Amen. And I believe, amen, there's areas where the gospel has not gone. And I can tell you that for a fact right now. There's parts of Mexico that we've been invited to go into the mountain regions where some of the Incas, the heathen Incas, have literally, how many of us know who the Incas are? They're some of the worst, they still sacrifice children in some of those areas down there south of Mexico City. And they're real. They live in those regions of those mountains worshiping heathen gods. But they've just within the last couple years, missionaries have been getting the opportunity. Amen. And they've been invited. These heathen men are realizing our God, our gods that we're serving are not doing anything for us. Our people are starving. They're poor. They're needy. They're dying of sickness and diseases. And these missionary preachers have been getting the opportunity to go in there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been going into the northern region of Mexico, and me and several other pastors. And I just wanted to briefly share with you a little bit of my background. If you want to get your Bibles, we're going to John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11. But I'm just going to take a few more minutes to ask you to pray for me, because we've got several very important decisions to make. My home church up in New Hampshire, we're from Manchester, New Hampshire. We are getting ready to take on a project to build a church for a young pastor right outside of the largest city almost in the world. Mexico City is a city of a little less than 27 million. Now, I don't know how accurate their censuses are, but I can tell you this, give or take a million. Amen. You go into that city, and let me tell you something. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. We fly into that city, and you think New York is big. New York is nothing compared to Mexico City. Mexico City is double the size in population than New York City. So if that gives you an idea of how many people are in that region. And we pastor a little Pentecostal church, Abiding Light Pentecostal Church up in Manchester, New Hampshire. There's very far and few in between Pentecostal churches that stand for truth up in that region of New England. But God has taken our little flock. We've got about 30 to 40 people. And we've got an great opportunity, Brother Derek, to go down into the regions of Mexico, working with a young pastor that Brother Victor Rijos is his name, and he was sent back. You remember Brother Victor? He was sent back. He was like a Jonas, Pastor. He was like a Jonah. He ran from God, but then he went ahead and realized that God had another plan for his life. Sent him back to Mexico. He was schooled and trained here, learned the English language, got a Bible. He got a Bible education. He didn't quite graduate. He got sent back first. I want to get my story straight, but praise the Lord. And we'll get to preaching here in a minute. But I feel to share this with you, to ask for your prayers. Brothers and sisters, there's a great need. And Brother Derek was telling me, he says, our people love mission works. I'm not here to ask for money or nothing. I'm simply telling you there is a need in these nations. And pray for Pastor Victor. He's a young pastor. And they're in that region where a lot of the mafia is in control and the cartels are in control. Killings are everywhere. These are the type of regions that God has called us to go into. Now, some folks say, well, aren't you scared? Well, I can tell you this. If the Holy Ghost Ghost wasn't with me, I would be scared. But I can tell you this, the Bible says, amen, that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I believe that if God has called you to do a work, it doesn't matter what comes your way, amen, God will keep His hand of protection upon you. But we're getting ready to, in the largest city almost in the world, our little church is getting ready to take on to build a church for Pastor Victor. They're in a little old block church right now. It's about a 25 by 25. They've outgrown it, and we're going to build a temporary structure for them, and we're going to try to go about 20, let's see here, I think they said around, they go by meters, so it messes me all up. I go by feet, amen? But it's going to be double the size, and then we're going to build the permanent building here in the near future. But isn't this amazing? For about $15,000, you can build a church. Isn't that amazing, Pastor? And I, Brother Derek was sharing with me how that the folks here have supported missions for years. And I'm simply asking you, pray for Mexico. It might not mean much to you, but this is the call of God upon my life. And this is our work personally that God has empowered me to fulfill. And I want to be faithful to the call of God. And I can tell you, God is more than able, amen, to take a small group of people. We don't have many here today, but what can God do with this? Just a few faithful people, amen, that will obey Him. Continue to support your Mission Works Church. Continue to support the pastors and missionaries that are on these foreign fields. I know, I've never lived in the foreign lands. Brother Derek spent a little time over there. I've never lived over there, but I can tell you this, there is a great need in the places like Africa and Mexico. But pray for us that we have the most of all, the financial and the prayer support is the key to seeing the work of God go forward. And I know folks get nervous when you talk about finances, but the fact is, without it, we can't do the work of God. Amen. So I'm asking you for your prayers. But more than that, I feel that God has given me a word this morning. And if you give me a little bit of time and liberty, I want to help somebody this morning by the word of God that He laid upon my heart. Brother Derek, when he came to minister for us back a while, I think it'd been about a year ago, brother. And he came and preached for us. He said, anytime you come down Hampton Way, give me a call. So I called him and he says, come on over and preach for us, brother. But I'm not the type of pastor that likes, or preacher that likes to just come and just grab an old page out of my notebook and preach something that I preached before. But I prayed and I sought the Lord for this church here. And I believe God's given me a word for you this morning. And if you'll give me liberty to preach this word, amen, God will encourage you and help you. John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the reading of the Word of God. This is a familiar portion of and a story of Scripture where we all have heard the story about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And we know Jesus got the word that Lazarus was dying, and he stayed another 2 days. And then he finally showed up after a while, and his two sisters, Lazarus's two sisters, Martha and Mary, they were very, very heartbroken because they had said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have lived. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, is that God's always on time. Amen. The Lord is always on time. We're going to pick it up here at verse 21, John chapter 11. If you have it, say amen. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Amen. Let's read that scripture again. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. If you'll go down with me a little ways here, let's go to verse 32 for time's sake. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And said, the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, thy sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Can you say amen to the reading of the Word of God? Let's go back up here to verse 40, and let's read what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see preach to you this morning on this thought. I've only preached this a couple times, but we know as preachers, and any of you know, not one message comes out the same. But God gave me a fresh revelation in my spirit for this church this morning. And I want to preach to you on when God lets us see what we believe. When God lets us begin to see what we believe. Brother Derek, would you stand and pray that the Lord would help us? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the problem that we have today in the time period we're living within the church, I believe when Jesus began to speak about those seven churches in the book of Revelation, he went all through and began to deal with what he had wrong with them, but he also didn't fail to point out that there were some good things. And when he came to that last church, it was that Laodicean church, I believe, that really parallels the church of our day. That Laodicean spirit has crept in to much of the churches in our country and around the world today. They don't even recognize their need for God. They said we're increased with goods and we're in need of nothing. Amen. If there's ever been a time that the church had a lot of money, we have our buildings, we have all the things that we need in the natural. But where we do lack, and you would have to agree with me today, is we need a spiritual outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've been challenging our church back home. Listen, they call us the frozen chosen up there. And I'll tell you, have you ever been to New England? Some of the churches are flat out dead. I'm just going to be honest with you. I like the presence of God that I feel in here today. Amen. And I can tell you this, we can have church before we leave here today. If some of you will get behind me and help me preach today, I believe that God has something in store for them that love Him. I believe that God wants to do a work in this last day hour that our eyes cannot even begin to comprehend. Our mind can't even begin to fathom the good things that God has in store for them that love Him. Listen, I'm not looking to just have a regular church service this morning. I believe God wants to do something and touch your heart and your life today in a supernatural way to make Himself real to you. I believe God wants to move more than we want Him to move. But the problem is that Laodicean spirit has crept into many of our people's lives. We deal with it back home, Pastor. We deal with it all over the nation and even around in the countries where I preach. Somehow we've lost our understanding of recognizing, Brother Derek, that we can do nothing without the power of God. We can't do anything without the Holy Ghost. Jesus told them, don't you even go out and witness to this world until you be endued with that power from on high. Amen. We need the power of the Spirit of God to help us today. Amen. And I believe that the Holy Ghost has something for you today if you can believe. I want to preach and build up your faith today from the Word of God and through this story. One of the greatest miracles, I believe, in the Bible was this miracle. Amen. And I like this story because, see, brothers and sisters, it goes beyond what our natural mind can comprehend. He had been dead had already 4 days and his body was stinking. But oh, hallelujah. How many of us know that which is impossible with man is not impossible with God? We're talking about Jesus Christ. He came on the scene. He was on time to this appointment. Amen. And let me tell you something. I don't know what you've been waiting on him for this morning. You might be like Martha and Mary, waiting and waiting, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Nothing is getting any better. But can I tell you something? We serve a God that is on time every time. You might have to suffer a while. You might have to go through some trials and some tribulations. But I can tell you right now, don't you give up on God, and God won't give up on you. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to help somebody today to believe Him for something that you've been waiting for. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I believe and feel already, Brother Derek, that we've got some folks here that have been praying and waiting. Praying and waiting. And they've been looking. They've been wanting to believe God. They've been wanting to trust God is going to bring to pass what they're believing Him for. But it's through the waiting that we begin to realize, amen, maybe it's not the will of God. Maybe it's not God's timing. Maybe I've got sin in my life. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed with an anticipation and believing God, but nothing happened? Amen. One of the hardest things to do is to wait on the Lord. David said it in Psalm 40, I waited patiently on the Lord. Oh, one of the hardest things for us to learn. I've had to learn to wait patiently. I don't know about you, but patience isn't one of my strong points in my life. Amen. But God's been helping me through some trials. How many of us know tribulation worketh patience? And let patience have its perfect way. That's why when you see a lot of the older men and women of God, those that have been in this way for a while, amen, they're not moved by a whole lot because they've seen a lot. Amen. They've had those times of testing and trials and afflictions and waiting on the Lord. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but it is going to be worth it all when Jesus comes on the scene. When He answers that prayer that you've been trusting Him for. When He heals that body that you've been trusting Him to heal. When He does a supernatural work in your family members and your loved ones. I believe God wants to do a miraculous work in His people's lives. If we can only believe Him that He is still able. Can you say amen? We need to see God move in our lives. I know we pray for others, but I don't know about you, but I need God in my life. I need the power of God to move. It was in the waiting that Sister Mary walks up to Jesus when He comes out, up on the scene. And she says, Lord, if Thou wouldest been here, my brother would have not died. Think about that. But then she makes a powerful statement. She says, but I know that even now. Oh, well, we're talking about the resurrection. I know He's going to be resurrected, amen, in the last day. No, no. Listen, but all He needs is a grain of mustard seed of faith. I'm not looking to make you shout this morning. I'm looking to help your faith. All He needs you, my brother and my sister, is have a grain of a mustard seed of faith. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody that's been waiting and waiting and trying to believe. And maybe you feel like that man that had that demon-possessed son, that a man was being thrown into the fire and into the water, and he was waiting and waiting. And all the disciples came forth, and they didn't have the power to do it. Have you ever been laid hands on by a man of God? And I'm not saying it was the man of God's fault, but you still didn't get healed. Has anybody prayed and fasted for healing or for deliverance or for a loved one or for God to give you a breakthrough or answer your prayer and nothing happens? What do you do when you pray, you believe, and you do all that God asks you to do, and it only gets worse? But I know my brother's dead. But even now, I know that even now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it is the evidence of things not yet seen. I'm going to say it again. Amen. Now faith is. Now I know that even now God can heal. I know that even now that God can deliver. I know that even now God can dry up that cancer. I know that even now God can regulate that blood pressure. I know that even now God can save my lost loved ones. Even now, I believe that God can do what I've been believing Him for. Right now, He can do it. We're looking for the special evangelist to come. We're looking for somebody to come in. We're looking for some type of... Listen, brothers and sisters. What moves God is your faith. Faith is the substance. What is the substance of your faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will come when God speaks a word to your spirit. And you can stand on that word. You can have faith, not in the doctor's word. I'm not looking to believe the doctor's report for some of you. But I'm believing to believe the report of the Lord that even now He can heal. Even now He can set free and deliver. I believe that God wants to manifest His power in the life of those that will believe Him. The problem is that we have been seduced by a spirit of unbelief that causes us to depart from the living, an evil heart. Think about that. He begins to talk about the adultery, the fornication, the wickedness, the sin, the evil that we've heard and we know is wrong, the drunkard and all the... But the evil heart. You know, God destroyed many of the Israelites because of their unbelief. How many of you known that said, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, and they'd die? I'm believing God to restore my marriage, but they get a divorce. I'm believing God to save my son or my daughter, but they're still getting further and further, and they're getting worse and worse. Do I have anybody here this morning that, amen, is allowed that spirit of unbelief? I feel God right now. I believe that some of you come under a demonic attack of oppression that rapes your mind, saying it's not going to happen. You're not going to get your healing. He's not going to show up. He's not going to come on the scene and make things better. But I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. I believe the report of the Lord. I believe God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. I believe even now that He is able. I just went through a bout of physical problems. I won't disclose them to you, but I should have went to the doctor. But I want to know Him as my healer. How can we ever know Him? Oh, we sing about, oh, He's the God that healeth thee. He's the God, my healer. Yes, He is. But I want that to be a real song of experience. I don't want to just hear others testify. I don't want to just hear about others that are worshiping Him and getting up in the testimony services and saying how God healed me and set me free. But I want to be that one that can get up and testify that He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is the one that sustained me because I had faith and I had trust in Him. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the spirit of unbelief will not only cause you to suffer, but others around you to suffer. That man that cried out for that demonic son was suffering. Isn't it an awful thing when we look at others that we closely love and care about? Sons and daughters, grandchildren, loved ones, husbands, wives, and we see them suffering Because they're oppressed under the strongholds of the devil. You know what, brothers and sisters? I believe firmly, and a lot of folks may fall out with me when I say this, but I believe a lot of Christians need some deliverance. I didn't say you were possessed. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Ghost and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Amen. I don't believe that he can be in the believer, but I believe he can attack that body. I believe he can attack that mind. Somebody help me preach this morning. Am I preaching to anybody that's going through a storm of unbelief, that's walking through the shadow of the valley of death? I can tell you right now, my brother, amen, the enemy does want to kill you. He does want to destroy you, but I believe that even now, God is still able to heal sick bodies, to deliver people, to bind up the broken heart, and I still believe He has the power to set the captives free. Deliverance is needed in our churches. Many people struggle with things and they don't want to listen. Half of you get up and tell half your testimony. No, we don't want to tell everybody really what we're dealing with, what we're being tempted with, what we're struggling with. Martha sat at the feet of Jesus there at that one in that one text, and Mary, Martha was all frantic trying to serve Him, but Mary sat at His feet. But now it's reversed. When Jesus showed up, who was sitting and who went to go see Him this time? I'm telling you, isolation. When you feel like you're in something you're not going to get out of. When you feel like you've got a broken heart. And you feel like everything's caving in around you and your life is falling apart. That's the place where God can come on the scene. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. I'm telling you what's attacking the minds of many believers today. We got to realize the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Oh, listen, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness that are raping our mind with a spirit of fear, with a spirit of doubt. And it's brother unbelief. Oh, listen to me. Oh, now I'll slow down a little bit right here. Pastor, what is not, amen, why we're not seeing a move of God's Spirit is because we are bound by a spirit of unbelief. The Holy Ghost wants you to believe that you may see. Oh, you didn't hear me. We want to see, then we'll believe. I was riding down the turnpike on 81 and there was a big old sign with a lady's eyes bulging out. And she says, "I don't believe my eyes," it says. You ever seen something you just said, "I don't believe it. I just don't believe it." Come on, somebody. It's almost like something that we naturally say, "I don't believe it. I just don't believe it." But we as the people of God serve a God that is more than able. We serve a God that is still able to bring healing, still able to bring deliverance, and He wants to still move in your circumstances. He's not late, but He will be on time. Can I tell you what happens? That spirit of unbelief takes over. But we've got to have a faith that's stronger in our God. That man said, "Can you help my son?" Your disciples didn't have the power to deliver him. Jesus said, "You faithless generation." He was disgusted with them, Pastor. Faithless. Oh, we sing about it. We testify about it. But do we really believe God wants to do a work through His people? That you may have a testimony to this lost and dying world that there is still a people on the earth. Listen, when Jesus comes back, He's looking for faith. Do you know what's under attack right now in America? Jude said it this way, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. One faith.
Come on, somebody. One faith. There's only one Savior. One way to heaven. And they're trying to tell us there's many ways. I pulled my children out of public school because they're so corrupt in their minds. I'm not against you if you send them to public school. But I can tell you this. The Holy Ghost said, get them out of there. Amen. Because I'll tell you, they begin to put thoughts that doubt. And I can tell you what you don't want to do is be around people that are always negative. Oh, hallelujah. People that are the glass is half full. Those type of people. I believe I like to look at it this way. It's half empty, half full. No, I want to see it full. I believe there's potential for God to do something. I believe that, amen, God wants to do something in the midst of His people. Can I tell you what the Holy Ghost gave me, Brother Derek? I'm going to obey the Lord. God told me to tell this church. He gave me a word for you. And I felt the Holy Ghost come over my soul. In Isaiah 43 and 18, He says, tell my people, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19 is what God said to me to share with you today. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I thought somebody would have shouted right there. Maybe I'm bored. Maybe you want me to. Amen. I said, now it shall spring forth. I'm doing a new thing. But I'm only going to let those that believe it see it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's going to be a lot of you that won't see the miracle that you're wanting to believe God for. There's some of you that won't see it because you don't believe it. But can I encourage you in the name of the Lord today, if thou canst believe, thou canst see the glory of God. I believe the glory is coming back to the house. I believe God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. We need a revival in our families. Our children are bound by the powers of sin. Some of you are oppressed by the devil. But can I tell you, God's wanting to do a new thing in you. God's wanting to do a new thing in you. And He's wanting to do it right now. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to believe what I'm saying. He said, I'm doing it right now. Holy Ghost, you'll have to show them. Right now. Even now. Oh, He's doing it right now. Oh, listen. But before you can go forward, you've got to forsake some of those things which are behind. A part of going forward is forsaking some things of the past. You're never... Oh, I feel God. You're never going to see what God has for you until you let some things go. I feel the plow coming out now. Some of you better get some things right with God. You better get the bitterness out of your heart. You better get the unforgiveness out of your heart. You better quit letting the devil get you hung up on things that aren't worth your time. The devil will have you coming and going. But Jesus said, if thou canst believe, oh, don't be bitter. Don't be angry at your brothers and sisters, because God's getting ready to do a new thing. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the middle of what God is doing in the midst of His people. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says right now, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you stand in the middle of my will. Don't you resist the Holy Ghost. Don't you stand at my purpose and my plan. And especially don't stand in the way of God's will. We just went through a purging at our church. The church filled right up, Pastor. I've got them in my church, red and yellow, black and white. We got more black folk in our church than white folk. And I like it because they get right behind me. preach. Some of those black sisters that say, go ahead now. Oh, make it plain. They don't like me talking in parables. They don't like me beating around the bush. And then when they want it flat out. They, go ahead and make it plain, brother. Make it plain. I've got some people that are with us, but I've got some people that aren't with us. Jesus came into the town of Nazareth. And he was wanting to perform some powerful miracles. But the Bible says that they looked at him. Who's that? Isn't that that carpenter's son? Isn't that that young little Jesus? That little snot nose. What's he? I remember him. Joseph's son. Mary's son. The Bible says he could not. Times does that appear? He could not do any mighty works in the midst of him. Because, he's given us the reason why. Of their unbelief. They did not believe, therefore they could not see. I know we're not shouting, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, I feel Him helping me to help you. I'm trying to increase your faith. I don't know if you're like a 40-minute preacher or a 30-minute preacher, but I'm going to go ahead and preach till I'm done, and I've poured out my heart to you. I didn't come here, brother, to just get a shout and a pat on the back, but I came with a word that God's doing a new thing, and He's doing it right now, and we need to get behind what God is doing, because if we don't get behind what God is doing, we'll miss out on what God has for us. Paul said, this one thing I've learned to do. Forgetting. Oh, God. Forgetting. One of the hardest things to do is to forget. Do I have anybody in here that has a hard time forgetting some things that have damaged your faith? That's discouraged you. That's made you feel like you were shortchanged. You ever been shortchanged before? You pay someone a certain amount of money and you don't get all that you had coming to you back? You were what? Shortchanged. You ever felt like life has shortchanged you? Like you've put in. Some of you've given and given and believed and believed and were faithful. You're taking care of folks. You're ministering. You're preaching the gospel. You're taking care of your husband. You're going to work. You're doing the laundry. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You're being faithful to come to the house of God. You're paying your tithes. You're doing all that you know to do. But yet you're not getting back what you've invested. The Lord would have me to say to you, my brother and sister today, be not weary in well-doing. For there's a reaping day coming. I wish some of you would really hear what I'm saying. I wish some of you would hear what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you today to believe that God has got something miraculous on the horizon. But it's going to depend upon you believing God for it. I'm giving you the word this morning. This is not from Pastor Nathan Davis. This didn't come from nobody. I got this in prayer at home. And I called Brother Derek and said, I feel God's given me a word. He says, I'm doing a new thing. And you tell them there at that tabernacle in Hampton that, it's going to be coming forth right now. I'm doing a new thing in the midst of them. And if you're not careful, God will pass you by. But it's time for you to get in and receive the Word of God and have faith in the work that God is doing right here. I don't believe God wants His church just to be a mediocre church that goes through the motions and just goes through the motions of Christianity. But I believe God wants to bring them in. Oh, but how is He going to bring them in if we don't have anything to give them? We need to have an atmosphere here of the power of faith to believe God for miracles. I don't like it when the drug addicts come in and they leave still smoking dope, still shooting needles, still strung out on drugs. I don't like to see people come in here still bound and leave not being touched by the Lord. The last year we've been seeing deliverance in our church. And folks from all the local churches have been coming to our little Pentecostal church. We got a building about half the size of your sanctuary. And we cram about 30 to 40 in there. It's tight. Boy, it's expensive to live in New England. I don't know about down here. Derek said this area is a little expensive. Amen. But we can't hardly find a building under almost $300,000 to $500,000 in the area where God's called us. But He'll provide. Because see, God is wanting to do something that our minds can't comprehend. I believe a revival's coming to this nation. Oh, and brother, the Holy Ghost said, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Oh, katayama, katayama. Whoa! Glory be to God. I might not mean much to you, but I believe that the glory of this, oh, hallelujah. I believe that we're going to see the glory come back to the sanctuary. Oh, Labakatayama. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, I believe that the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than that of the former. Hallelujah. We've heard of old-time revivals. We've heard of Azusa Street. We've heard of the old-time Pentecostal power where they were getting slain in the Spirit, where people were literally walking by the church, coming under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. We hear how that people were coming in off the streets, getting saved, getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But it's always what God did in the past. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing the good things that God has done in the past. But you'll never attain to your future. You'll never lay hold of it. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing. Oh, pressing. I want to stay right there for a moment. It's not going to come easy. It's going to come with a fight. Oh, a lot of us think that healing comes easy. No, 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 no. Deliverance doesn't come easy. Healing doesn't come easy. I'm telling you, salvation in the lives of your family members won't come easy, but it comes when you can lay hold of the altar and you can press your way through every spirit of unbelief, every carnal thought, everything that's coming against your mind that says it won't happen. Oh, listen to me. The devil is a liar. God wants to pour out His Spirit in your life, upon your children, upon your community, and upon this area. God wants to bring back the glory to the sanctuary. But do we really believe it? How many of us will just come in? We're just going to go through the motions of church, but with no expectation. No expectation that there could be a miracle for some of you that have had doctor's reports. I believe even now, some of you could be touched up in your body. Your arthritis could heal. Yeah, your sugar diabetes could just go back to normal. You don't need that insulin. I believe God could straighten out that back. I believe God can heal that liver. I believe God can heal your kidneys. I believe God can get you off that medication that gets you thinking crazy. I believe, oh, hallelujah. But can I tell you what the problem is? Some of us have gone used to living this way, trying to get people to come out of the old into the new. Listen, I've been pastoring at our church for 3 years. And when I went in there, pastor, they were about as militant holiness Pentecostals as you could get. Yeah. But what began to happen was God began to break those stony hearts. How many of us know that Amen. Let's be honest. There's different categories of Pentecostals. You're a more quiet bunch, and I'm okay with that. I've preached to quiet. I've preached to loud. I've preached to shouting. I've preached to them all. It don't make any difference to me. The Word is the Word. Some of you are right here with me. Some of you don't know what to think. This preacher's crazy. Some of them won't let me preach in the church because I got a beard that God put there. How many of us know God gave us all men beards? Just some of us shave them. Matter of fact, I think a lot more men should start to wear them because it's going to distinguish what a man is and what a woman is. Nowadays, we can't tell. It's one of the reasons God gave man hair on his face. There was no doubt he was a man. But lately, I've been looking around going, what is that? I know you got them down here in Virginia. We got them in New England. They're all over. And I'm not putting them down. The Lord can save them. I've seen them delivered. Amen. I heard a testimony of a man from Washington State, one of the most liberal states in our country, bound by the powers of demonic lust and perversion. He was a queer. He's not gay. I don't call them gay because they're not happy. They're bound. But that man wanted to be free. And he came into a church, an old Pentecostal church. He said, I've been to churches. No power. No anointing. Pastors have laid hands on me. They said, oh, just get some pastors giving advice to go to psychologists. I believe doctors have their place. I'm not against doctors. But can I tell you something? What happened to an old-fashioned prayer closet? What happened to praying and fasting? Jesus said this kind only come by. Some things in your life are only going to be possessed through prayer and fasting. Meaning you're only going to receive them when you lay hold of the promise of God by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it's the evidence of things not yet seen. I know that even now, that man came in that little church and he says, Lord, I know in this little Pentecostal church, you can set me free. He didn't tell anybody because he was ashamed, but he had AIDS. He had AIDS because of his perversion. And can I tell you what happened? There wasn't fireworks. There wasn't lightning bolts, Pastor, when they prayed over him. There was faith. I've seen him try to shout out demons. I've seen him try to shake them. I'm not against it, but a lot of it's emotion. I watched my dear pastor, Pastor Reynolds, walk right up to demon-possessed people. A man of prayer and fasting, Brother Derek. Other men did not have the power like the disciples. And he'd walk up to them. They were shaking, they were screaming, they were yelling, and those demons were cursing at those men. My pastor would simply lay hands. Boom! Deliverance immediately. Set free! The whole countenance would change. See, it's not in the shout, it's not in the elevation of the voice, by the anointing. We need the anointing. We need the glory. You know what the anointing is? It's the manifest presence of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That man got prayed over. He was instantly set free from the lust of the flesh. He went and got checked up and his AIDS was gone. He went back 6 months later because that spirit of unbelief came back and said, no, you really didn't get healed. How many have ever felt like they were healed, kind of felt like they were getting better, felt like things were doing pretty, but then that's, you're not healed. It's not really going to happen. I remind you, don't listen to that voice. The devil is a liar. If thou canst believe, you will see
the glory of God. God wants to set the oppressed free. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many of us know that that's what He wants to do? How many really want to see God move not only in your life, but then you'll take what you have received back home. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God has a new thing in store for this church. Can I finish, church? I'm almost finished. Amen. The Bible says that Moses recognized when he felt like God's presence wasn't going to go with him. He asked the Lord, oh, wonderful question. Oh, Lord, show me Thy glory. Hallelujah. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Nobody had seen the glory of God. Nobody could look upon the Lord. Don't get tired on me. Help me get across the finish line here. I'm going to finish this last key point. Amen. If we want to see, I don't want to hear the testimonies anymore of other people's churches getting revival and other people seeing a move of God and other people getting healed. What about here at the Abundant Life Tabernacle? We can say, oh, God's moving in that place. I don't know, something's taking place, but God's doing a new thing. There's a manifestation. There's a different spirit. And God's beginning to do miracles. God's beginning to do great things in the midst of those people. By your faith, be it unto you. You know why many won't see it, Brother Derek? God won't show them. Are you listening? Because of that unbelief. You've got to pray that thing through. Jesus prayed for a woman that had an issue of blood. And she pressed her way through, touched the hem of His garment. He was on His way to praying for a little girl that was about ready to die, 12 years old. How many remember the story? And as He was headed that way, what would think would be a delay wasn't a delay. There was a woman with an issue of blood. And she spent all of her money looking to get healed, but only got what? Worse. Money can't buy healing. Money can't buy deliverance. Nothing can compare to the touch of the Lord. They came to Jesus after that woman with the issue of blood. I like what she said. She felt in her body she was healed when she touched that. But before she made that statement, she says, if I could just but touch Him. Do you see the faith of something that is hoped for? Sometimes it has to get real bad. And you don't have anything or nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. Things might be going okay for you right now, but let it get a little worse. Let it get real desperate. She says, if I could just but touch Him, I know. Glory be to God. Do you hear the faith? I know that I can be healed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you hoping for healing this morning? I believe He can heal you this morning. You might not have the faith, but my prayer is that, Lord, I know many might not believe, but help Thou their unbelief. He'll help your unbelief. Glory to God. You didn't hear me. I know we're not shouting, but I'm trying to help somebody with their faith this morning, Brother Derek. The faith that you need is a faith that is unwavering. I'm closing. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. When we come into church, we got to come in here with an expectation. One of the things I'm realizing with our folks, pastors, they kind of got used to me. done a good job helping me preach this morning, getting with me, some of you. Sometimes, man, I feel like, man, is anybody helping me? I feel God. But everybody's just, there's no expectation. There's no faith. It's just like we're going through the motions. Let's be real this morning. Some of you just go through the motions. Some of you don't come with an expectation. We got a blind man in our church, sits on the front row, named Adam. And I says, what would it do for somebody, Pastor Derek, if one day he stood up in the middle of the service, Sister Holly, and said, I can see. I can see. Oh, I can see. What if some of you that have been testifying for God to heal you, all of a sudden decides to heal you before the end of this service? Oh, my God, help me. Help me. Oh, glory be to God. Would that help your faith? You know what? I know you want to see it, and then you will believe it. But the Lord says you're not going to see it until you believe me first. If thou canst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. I want to see the glory come back to the sanctuary. But it's only going to be when we believe what God says. And He says, I'm doing a new thing, and I'm doing it right now. Moses asked to see that glory. How many want to see the power in this sanctuary? How many want to bring your sons and daughters into this place and see the conviction of the Holy Ghost begin to draw them? How many want to see some of your husbands get saved? Some of your children that are bound by the powers of the world and the lust of the flesh all of a sudden say, Mom, I want to come to church. Dad, I want to come to church. Listen to me. If you can't believe, you can see what the hand of the Lord can do. Is there anything too hard for God? Don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. I didn't forget. Don't trouble him. Just rejoice over this woman that got healed with the issue of blood. The little girl died. Jesus comes in to that house. Says she's only sleeping. They laughed him, what does the Bible say? To scorn. You ever share with folks what you're believing God for and they laugh at you? Let's be honest, what does it do to you? Just a little bit of doubt. What you need is a word. Faith is not just hoping, but I'm going to just step out. I've heard many men say, I'm just going to step out without a word, Pastor. Don't you stop taking your medication until God gives you a word that He's healed you. Don't you say, oh, I have faith, I believe. No, you've got to get a word. Now faith is. Faith cometh by what? Hearing a word. The word, the revealed, the rhema, the word of God. I've been in prayer before, and many of you have, where all of a sudden a word is spoken to your spirit. Not to your mind, my brother. Not to you, to you just in your ear, and you think, oh, is that God? No, but a word that comes alive. That's a word from God. And He's wanting to give you faith in the word that He has spoken to your spirit. Don't trouble the master. He walked into there and they laughed at him. Be careful who you share what you're praying for with. Some of us have shared and cast our pearls before swine. We've shared things with people. They laugh at you. They mock you. They think you're crazy when you don't go to the doctor. I had them telling me, Pastor, I'm not against doctors, by the way. They have their place. But I told God, I want to know you as my healer. I went through a year on my knees believing God for healing. I was getting anxiety attacks so bad.
I thought I was having heart attacks and dying. My wife, Pastor, had to pray me through. I'd literally feel a spirit of oppression come over me. And literally say, you're a pastor, Holy Ghost filled man. Yeah, and the demons from hell would come and whisper in my ear. What do you do when you hear voices that go contrary to what God said He'll do? My sheep hear my voice. And another will they not follow? You better know the voice of the shepherd. I know that this pastor here for many years has been a word preacher. He's put this word in your spirit. When you hear any word contrary to the word of God, don't follow that voice. But believe the good shepherd's voice. I was coming under such a demonic attack. It wasn't, you know what they would have wanted to do to me? Put them on pills. Come on, somebody. We got a pill for everything. Pill to make them go to sleep. Pill to make them get up. Pill to calm them down. Pill to pep them up. Pills to make you lose 50, 60 pounds. They're making merchandise of the people. Can I tell you, there's a great physician that's still in business. And what he has to offer isn't bought with money, but it's bought with faith. If thou canst believe. Jesus walked into that place in the midst of all that unbelief, and there lay a 12-year-old little girl dead. If I could have somebody come to the piano or the organ. And brothers and sisters, are you with me? I'm closing. I've probably gone a little bit longer than what you're accustomed to, but that's all right. I'm a guest. Can I get away with it? I won't do the Brother Roberts. I never seen those Southern preachers do that. But the first time he had five of them raise their hand and he got 25 more minutes. Boy, I said, man, I'll use that a couple times. But I won't use it here because you've probably already seen it too many times. Praise the Lord. But Jesus went in there, Pastor. And he made a lot of those folks that were there grieving with those parents leave. Jesus made them leave when he got ready to pray for that little 12-year-old little girl. He cleared the house out. I told some of our folks, we just lost about 10 members, and when you got only got about 40, that's a lot. And I was struggling with it, brother. But the Lord said, I've removed some of that unbelief. They weren't believing what I was preaching. What, do you think you're all right? No, I preach out of the book. I was taught right. And when I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. And my elders that I'm under will reprove me and instruct me. But can I tell you something? What hinders the move of God in a church is a spirit of unbelief. Jesus made them get out of the house. Don't be discouraged when they leave. Sister so-and-so left. Brother so-and-so. Listen. God didn't call them to be here. And those that may have been here for a while and they're leaving, sometimes maybe they're the one that's hindering what God wants to do. You know, when God does a new thing, change. I preach a message at home. Change does not come easy. When change does not come easy, I know a lot of what Brother Derek's going through and pastors going through. These pastors are good men. And change won't come easy. But can I tell you something? Change sometimes is a good thing. It's a necessary thing in life. And you know what? Change, a lot of good can come out of it. But we're so habited by looking at the negative and focused on what's not going right, that we forsake to have faith and trust that God is doing a new thing. You know, fear attacks many Christians. The fear of the unknown. The fear of uncertainty. These parents laid there or seen that little baby laying there, 12-year-old girl, probably struck with fear. You know, fear is the enemy of your faith. Fear is the enemy of your faith. It's got those two brothers, doubt and unbelief. They all go together. I don't know about you, but I don't like the spirit of fear. But can I tell you something, sister? In this last year, I beat that thing. I fought it. It used to possess me to where it would torment my mind. I have anybody here that's had to fight a spirit of fear? Met a grown man, a grown man that barely just got delivered from being able to sleep in the dark. 38-year-old man had to sleep with a light on. I used to walk real fast into the house when it was dark. Am I the only one that's ever felt that thing just... It's a spirit. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit that will come to you and will destroy your faith in God. My brother-in-law, Brother Rick, a week ago came to me, "Brother, my left arm's getting numb." And man, most folks say, "Let's rush him to the hospital." I said, "Brother, God has not given us a spirit of fear." You know, when sudden fear comes, it's usually the devil. Now, I'm not saying be stupid and ignore it if you've got a legitimate problem, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of what we worry about doesn't even happen. We're getting scared and fearful over things that aren't even going to happen. And you know, fear has torment. It torments the mind. It affects your body and physically can make you sick. I'd get so anxious, brother. I never knew what anxiety was until I began to deal with that thing. Holy Ghost-filled preacher, evangelist, missionary. Listen, you don't know what some folks are dealing with. Paul said, "I had fears within and fears without." Sometimes we're attacked within. Usually the attacks come from in here. But a lot of times it's spirits that come to the mind, come to the soul. They try to pound on you, try to discourage you. But can I tell you something? Jesus has the power to make us free from all, I said from all, the powers of the devil. He's given us all power and authority. What I didn't realize is I had an authority in God. I'm not talking about some little 5-minute prayer. And I'm going to finish, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this. You got to lay hold of God in a prayer closet. And you need to pray till the answer comes. Some of you have been in some battles. You've been in some struggles. You've been going through some real hard places. There's several here that a spirit of confusion has attacked you. And you literally don't know what to do. It's a spirit. And the Lord said, "I've given you all power and authority." Listen, I want to see the glory come to this sanctuary. And I want to see the people of God set free. I want it to be like what Moses said, "Lord, show us thy glory. Let us see the power." How many want to see what they believe?
And God told me to tell you He's doing a new thing. And He's going to let some of you see. But those that don't believe won't see it. When Jesus removed all those people, He was removing the unbelief. He said, you're not going to get to see this miracle because you don't believe it. And He told that little girl, arise. And we know the story. She arose. But those that did not believe, those that mocked, those that laughed, did not get to see that miracle. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one that doesn't get to see. I like to see what I believe. Somebody said, well, I won't believe it until I see it. Well, you'll never see it then. Because God moves by faith. And when you can have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, God can work with that. And what I want to do is I want to open up this altar this morning. And I believe there's some of you that need healing in your body. There's some of you that are believing God for others and you can stand in proxy for them. I preach this message believing. We might not feel, some great tidal wave of a rushing mighty wind in here this morning, but can I tell you, God can heal you today. If you're fighting a spiritual problem, spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, confusion, depression, I don't know what you're struggling with, but can I tell you something? If I had more time, I could tell you some stories of some of the things that this old preacher's gone through. Can I tell you, He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And though I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I didn't have to fear any evil because the Lord was with me. Can I tell you, the Lord's with you today. I've felt the presence of God here. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. God wants to do some miraculous things in this church. But it's going to depend upon your faith, getting behind the man of God, supporting your pastors, and believing what they preach. I believe there's going to be a last day revival, Pastor, that this world has never seen. I believe God has saved the best for last. He said the glory of this latter house. Oh, listen, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that you are the spiritual house that God is talking about? He's not talking about this church building. He's talking about the glory of this latter church is going to be greater than that of the former. I don't believe we're going to fly out of here dragging along. But I believe we're going to go out with the same power that they had endued upon them on the day of Pentecost. I believe that there's going to be a power that comes to this nation. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I believe before this revival comes, though, there's going to have to be great judgment upon our country. And I say this with all fear and trembling, but judgment is on the horizon. I'm not just talking a few little bombs going off in Boston and airplanes and stuff like that. I'm talking something catastrophic is on the horizon in our nation. And what it's going to do is it's going to shake the fence of those that are on it. And they're either going to fall to one side or the other. God is going to allow our nation to be judged because we have forgotten Him. This used to be a nation of faith that once believed in God. But now we're just like that Laodicean church. We think that we're increased with goods and we're in need of nothing. Our bills are paid. We've got good jobs. Everything's going pretty good. But that Laodicean spirit has crept into many of our churches and people don't even see their need for a revival. Can I tell you something? You'll never see it unless you believe God is going to bring it. And I've told you by the authority of the Holy Ghost today, I love you, my brothers and sisters. I've come with a word and I know I preached way too long. But when I leave this place today, I want to say, Lord, I've poured out my heart to my brothers and sisters in Christ here in Hampton. God has given me a word to tell you He's doing a new thing. And now it's going to spring forth. You know, God always tells us because He's faithful what He's going to do before He does it. If you have an ear to hear, He'll tell you what's going to happen. He'll do nothing lest He first reveal it to His secrets, His servants, the prophets. He'll reveal them to men of God. God is getting ready to do a new thing. And it's even started now. You say, why? You're just saying that because Pastor, brother here, Jones. I got to be careful with that. Derek, and I apologize. Glenn, I thought it was Glenn. Pastor Glenn, honor you this morning, Pastor. I heard a few of his tapes preaching. He's a good Bible teacher. I appreciate a man of God with the Word. But can I tell you this? Get behind these pastors. Your family and my family, we need to see a revival. I've got lost brothers. I've got a brother right now out in Arizona I've been praying for. He's strung out on drugs, brother. Shooting needles in his arms. But I believe that even now, Pastor Glenn, that God can still set him free. I believe it. I believe God can help some of you today before you leave. Say, well, I got a roast in the oven. I got to get home. Listen, God's going to do it on His timetable. I'd like for some of us to come forward that need healing in their body this morning. I'm going to join my faith with you. I don't know how you do your altar calls, but I feel like somebody that may have a grain of mustard seed of faith can say, Pastor Davis, I want to join my faith with you. I need healing. Whether it's in your body, your mind, or your spirit. I don't know what you've been believing God for, but He says, if thou canst believe, I will let you see. Then you can be that one that stands up and testifies, God healed me. God delivered me. God set me free. I was waiting and waiting and waiting, but I didn't give up. I kept believing even when it hurt. I kept believing even when all came against me. I just continued to believe God. Do I have anybody here today that would say, Pastor Davis, I need a touch in my body. I want to lay hands on you. I want to ask for the pastors to come up. We can get the anointing oil. I'm not sure it's right here. We're going to obey the Word of God. If you have to leave, I understand. But I want to pray for those that need healing today in their bodies. Part of believing God is coming forward and admitting that you need a touch from Him. Can I tell you what we need to do? Is we need to really examine our hearts and say, Lord, I must believe You. I have to believe You. I need Your touch. I need Your glory to come down and touch me. Great physician, come by and minister and touch me today. I know there's more. Don't let that stubbornness and pride keep you in your seat. I know you're here, my brothers and sisters. I know you're here. The Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart even now. Don't sit there in that stubbornness. He says, I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for you to believe. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. If you'll be honest with you, you haven't had a touch from God in a while. You need the touch of the Holy Ghost.